I have been getting messages every day of somebody passing away, especially from my family and friends and loved ones.
Indian Americans fight COVID from afar. It's Tuesday, May 11th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Pakistani female journalists break barriers, predicting volcanic eruptions, and a blessing for bicycles. It's all on today's VOA Asia. India's daily COVID statistics are down slightly, but they remain high. The health ministry said Monday there were 366,161 new infections and 3,754 deaths caused by the coronavirus in the previous 24-hour period. Public health experts say they believe the new cases and deaths are undercounted. India has 22.6 million COVID cases so far, according to the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center. Only the United States has more infections, accounting for nearly 33 million of the world's more than 158 million COVID cases, according to the center. The highly infectious coronavirus variant, first identified in India, is reported to have been detected in Bangladesh, France, Thailand, the UK, and the US state of Connecticut. There is growing concern in India about a fungal infection affecting COVID patients and people who have recovered from the disease. As the number of COVID cases in India rise and overwhelm the healthcare system, many from the country now living in the United States have watched helplessly as friends and family grapple with the virus. Now, as VOA's Kane Faribault reports, some in the Midwestern state of Illinois are mobilizing to help from a distance.
Every morning, just checking the internet for the latest news from India is a dismal ritual for entrepreneur Anil Joshi.
In my own family, my cousin family actually have four people, all four family members got infected. A childhood friend of mine died actually.
In recent weeks, seven members of Ashfaq Syed's extended family in the Indian city of Hyderabad have contracted the virus. He says all seven have since passed away.
It is going crazy, I can say. And I have been getting messages every day of somebody passing away, especially from my family and friends and loved ones.
Anil Joshi's company, IntellaH, is developing technology that would allow India's medical professionals to remotely assess and monitor patients. He has a team of 35 employees in India advancing the project, but the virus is slowing down their work.
In our own group, in the last 3 weeks, we have four people who are actually infected and not able to work because their mom or dad got them first. And obviously, Indian families are very closely knit family. They live together.
Joshi and Syed are among many trying to answer India's call for help.
People need oxygen supply there. People need medicines like remdesivir and others.
We need ventilators because some of my friends requested us to arrange some ventilators, donations and all those things.
While there are logistical challenges in collecting and shipping equipment to India, Syed says sending money has provided immediate assistance.
Oxygen, the ox cylinder, it used to be 2,000 Indian rupees earlier. Now it has shot up to 20,000, 30,000. So because of, you know, shortage of oxygen, So we need to arrange some funds.
South Asian communities throughout Illinois are joining the effort.
Can I have your name, please?
Sajjad Bhatti is from India's neighboring country of Pakistan. He runs a restaurant in the Chicago suburb of Naperville and has barely survived the financial hardship created by COVID lockdowns in the U.S. While his own family in Pakistan is healthy and, so far, safe from the virus, his heart goes out to those in India who are suffering.
It doesn't matter if they're Muslim, Hindu, whatever, they are praying for all of India. In our mosque, in our churches, everywhere they're praying for India.
Even though his business hasn't returned to normal, Bhatti is helping Syed raise about $10,000 to buy medical supplies in India. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Naperville, Illinois.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. South Korean president pledges to restore dialogue with North Korea. Indonesian police arrest Papuan independence figure on treason charges. Malaysia's state-owned investment fund, ex-unit, sued to recoup billions. Can Taiwan's silicon shield protect it against China's aggression? China turns to naturalized players to save World Cup hopes. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, and Twitter. We also invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. Female journalists are regularly seen on camera in Pakistan, but the job can bring many challenges. Umair Farooq from VOA Peshawar meets two women pushing back the barriers. Bejan Hamdard narrates the story.
When she started out in journalism, Farzana Ali from Pakistan's conservative Dera Ismail Khan district in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa was told women don't belong in the profession. But she pushed back and is now the first female bureau chief of Aaj News in Peshawar, the province's capital.
In the beginning, I was told, men don't do the kind of things you are doing, or even men don't dare say no to us. Who was I to say no to them? Well, look, I'm not a thing. I am a journalist, and it is my job to convey information to the people.
The 20-year news veteran says women were not allowed to cover politics, terrorism, and other big issues. But she stepped up to take on those beats. Now, as bureau chief, a top worry is the safety of her team, especially in districts with extremism and terrorism.
If it seems to us that our lives will be in trouble, mine, my reporters, anyone working with me, especially those working in merged districts, then we advise them to report only that news that would not risk their lives. That is why many issues go unreported.
Other female journalists say whatever the subject, reporting from the field can be more difficult for female journalists.
When I go in the field to report, people harass me, calling me names and staring at me. The way they stare makes you feel uncomfortable. I am sitting here like this, but in the field, I cover myself in a shawl.
But in some cases, Ali says being a female journalist actually helps give depth to their reporting, especially on women's issues.
You get access to the original stories. If a man goes, he will talk to men only. A male reporter will never tell the negative side of the story about a woman's issues. I, on the other hand, would bring what a woman really has to say.
In Pakistan, one challenge exists for all journalists in the country: access to information.
It's said that we have freedom of expression in Pakistan. Everyone can say what is on their mind, but I'm not ready to accept that. You don't have access to information, you don't have access to areas, so where is the freedom of expression and where is the freedom of press?
Still, these journalists vow to keep pushing to fully cover the issues that affect their communities. For Umair Farooq in Peshawar, Pakistan, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Experts say this has already been a busy year for volcanic activity, especially in several parts of Asia along the so-called Ring of Fire. Now, NASA scientists say they may be able to predict eruptions far enough in advance to help save lives. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has developments.
Lava flows down a side of Guatemala's Pacaya volcano. Local relief groups say for now the lava doesn't appear headed for nearby communities, but that could change if it switches direction. University of Alaska researcher Tarsilo Garona is lead author on a report studying satellite data as a means of detecting future volcanic activity.
So the key point of this research is that we can, in principle, use these signs of heat, of the release of heat that we observe at the surface of volcanoes, we can use that information to better anticipate volcanic activity.
NASA scientists studied 16 years of radiant heat with instruments on board satellites. They found in the years leading up to an eruption, the radiant surface temperature over much of a volcano would increase by about 1 degree Celsius.
One of our main goals, main tasks, is to monitor volcanoes in real time. So incorporating this new methodology, that means that we are going to provide a lot of extra information that we can use to better understand the activity of active volcanoes and to better anticipate these eruptions.
Garona says by adding new tools for detection, researchers can predict months or even years before a volcano erupts. 21 communities surround the erupting Pacaya volcano alone. Every Wednesday in April, devotees make a pilgrimage there to pray at the lava, sprinkling holy water and seeking divine intervention in stopping the flow. Garona says with more robust data gathering, science can warn communities like this one before the next major eruption ever happens. Arash Shahrabasadi, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, a North Korean defector and anti-North Korea activist was questioned by South Korean police over a law that prohibits activists from sending anti-North Korea leaflets over the border. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the blessing of the bicycles at the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine is a popular tradition in New York City. Last year it was held virtually due to the pandemic, but this year the event was back, and many returned with the bicycles they relied on to get through a difficult year. Anna Nelson has their story, narrated by Anna Rice.
Among many unusual New York rituals, this might stand out due to its longevity. For the past 23 years, in early May, hundreds of bikers cycled to the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine in New York City to have their bicycles blessed. Even pets come along.
She just loves to go in Central Park, and when I'm getting ready to get on my bike, she looks at me really anxiously, wondering if she's going to go too, and is very excited to get on the bike.
Glenn Goldstein started this unusual tradition. Not religious himself, Goldstein is an avid biker who got the idea from his mother.
Many years ago, my mother sent me a newspaper article about a blessing of the motorcycles at a shrine. And like all good sons, I took that article and threw it away. And many years later, I thought, this is not a bad idea. And so I came here to this wonderful cathedral and said, can I ask you a question? I was very embarrassed. I thought they would not like this, but they were very nice and welcoming. And we've been doing it for 23 years now. This is the 23rd year.
As for the purpose of the ceremony, Goldstein says he likes to think this blessing might keep him and many others a little safer.
But the church is beautiful, and they're very nice to do this, and it's a nice thing to do. I think it's just a lovely ceremony.
Do I believe it helps? Amen. You gotta have faith. And you have all the help you can get, and, it doesn't hurt, that's for sure.
As the pandemic worsened, many New Yorkers saw bikes as one of the safest means of transportation in this hard-hit city. Even the church priests admit they haven't taken the subway in more than a year.
We were all so afraid to go out. And these brave people, many of whom are immigrants to this country, many of whom are not documented immigrants to this country, they went out on their bicycles so we would have something to eat. And so the people on the bicycles really in many ways made life possible for us during the pandemic.
Each year, roughly 2 bicyclists a day are killed in accidents on U.S. roadways. Bikes painted white often appear as memorials at the sites where bicyclists have been killed.
Pedro Lopez, 41, Brooklyn.
Thaddeus Chakowski, 61, Brooklyn. Zudi Dasi, 79, Staten Island.
I think the ghost bike, it's a good cautionary tale for all of us, seeing a bike there, and it's also a way to remember that a poor soul, lost his or her life doing what they liked or even just going about their daily business.
I think it's tragic and it's sad, but it's good to have a memorial for people to realize that it is dangerous with cars and bicycles like sharing the same roads, and for people to be aware like how easy it is for cyclists to get injured when you have 1,000-pound vehicles riding next to them.
They come once a year to have their bikes blessed. Then they're off again, ready for another season of pedaling on city streets. For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
We're parking our bikes for the day. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. We'll return tomorrow at the same time. And in the meantime, you can join us online. We're at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're always glad to have you join us, and we thank our team that helps bring you the program. Service Chief Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.